शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। I have been given a very interesting topic to speak on, demystifying the deity stage. First of all, is the deity stage a mystery that we have to demystify it? For some it may be a mystery, no doubt. But when we come in Baba's knowledge, we understand it very well. Just as Baba's praise is unlimited, they say for God's praise that the praise of God is so much that if you, make the whole ocean, all the oceans into ink, and all the earth into paper, and all the jungles, the forests, the trees into a pen, and start writing God's praise, Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, if she starts writing the praise of God, the paper will finish, the ink will finish, the pen will finish, but God's praise will not finish. So much is the praise of God. But along with the praise of God, whatever is associated with God is also praised to the same extent. Baba says, the heaven I create is also so praiseworthy. Baba calls it the wonder of the world. In today's world we have 7 wonders, but nobody knows about heaven, which is the most wonderful creation of God. So the praise of heaven, which is sung in every religion, although they don't know much about it, is also unlimited. Thirdly, the deities in that heavenly world, the living beings in that heavenly world, their praise is also unlimited. Fourthly, the knowledge which God gives when He comes, that also, the praise of that is also unlimited. And we say the knowledge which God gives is praised as the Gita. Gita, where it is written, God speaks. And then the time, the period when God comes in this world, the confluence age. That confluence age is also praised so much in the form of these Kumbh Melas, which, in India, people go to these Melas in millions and millions and take a dip where the two rivers meet, or where the river and the ocean meet. That's the confluence. So the praise of the confluence when God comes on earth, the confluence between the two cycles, Iron Age and Golden Age, the praise of that is also unlimited. Sixth, the praise of Bharat, where God descends. We say Bharat is the birthplace of God. The praise of Bharat is also unlimited. So along with the praise of God, the praise of all these is also unlimited. And when we understand this, it is not difficult to understand that how God creates the most elevated human beings, and they are called the deities. The deities are the most elevated human beings. Of course, they are physically like all of us. Two arms, two legs, two eyes, one nose, two ears, one mouth, whatever. And also the height, not 10 feet, 20 feet tall, but normal. But then how much praiseworthy they are, it's because of the divine virtues in them. It is the divinity which is worshipped. It is the divinity which is praised. That is why it is said God made man in his own image. Whatever he is, he put all that in human form. And that human form is really a deity. And God tells his children that you were deities, but you lost your deity qualities, your divine virtues, and today you have become like devils. Devils are also human beings, but they have devilish tendencies. So deities and devils, actually all are creation of God, but it is, the difference is, there is divinity in the deities and there is no divinity in the devils. But everything is God's creation. And when we understand this, and we are told by God Himself that you were these deities, then many start wondering, how could we be deities? They are so high, they are so elevated, we are so ordinary. How can we be like them? How can it be that we are them? No, how can we? You know, they doubt themselves. The same thing was with Brahma Baba. Brahma Baba was a worshipper of Vishnu, the deity, the sustainer. But then when he got the vision of Vishnu, and Vishnu told him that you are the same as me. I am the four-armed Vishnu, and so are you. And when Baba heard this, it took him by surprise. How can I be this one? I'm a worshipper of Vishnu. Vishnu is so elevated. I'm not that elevated. How can I be that? But then the visions he got of the different forms of, you know, of Vishnu, all the forms of Vishnu, because there are so many temples of Vishnu in India, all gave him the same blessing. I am the four-armed Vishnu, and so are you, and so are you. You are the same. And Baba kept hearing this again and again, you are the same. But it wouldn't go in his head, how can I be that? And then he asked his guru, because at that time this knowledge wasn't there in him. He was a devotee of Vishnu. He asked his guru, because Baba had a guru, that I got this vision, but it was so strange. How can I be Vishnu? Because usually, you know, in bhakti, on the path of devotion, when somebody is worshipping someone and that one is his like personal god, then very often the devotees get vision of that, of the deity. And when they get a vision, actually that vision which they get and that deity appears in front of them, the blessing which they get from the deity is Tatha Astu. That's a Sanskrit word which means Tatha Astu. It will happen like that. It will happen like that. That is a blessing they get. Tatha Astu means it will happen that way. That means they have some desire in them and they worship their deity, they worship their personal god, whatever. And then they want that desire to be fulfilled. So, how Baba says, I give the fruit of their bhakti and I give them a vision. And as the deity appears in front of them, the blessing they get from the deity is that Tathastu, it will happen that way. That is, your wish will be fulfilled. And then their wish is definitely fulfilled. So this is the fruit of their bhakti. You know, little experience of vision, of trance. But Baba says it is so transitory. It appears and they get the blessing and it finishes. It's off. It's gone. That scene disappears very soon. And then they start wondering, what was that? What was that? And how can I experience it again? But then it comes only once. But then this vision was not of the same type. Vishnu did not give him the vision and or the, you know, the blessing that your wish will be fulfilled or it will happen that way, it will happen so. But the blessing was, you are the same as me. Such a different vision, such a different blessing. So he asked his guru, what does it mean? How can I be like him? Even his guru could not understand because no one else before had ever been given such a blessing. And so his guru thought for a while and said, maybe, that was his assumption, that maybe God wants you to do something for him. That was his assumption. God wants you to do something for him. And therefore you have to do God's task. And as you have to do God's task, God blessed you that you are the same as me because you have to do my task. Because only the one who's like me can do my task. And then Baba had a question again. I have to do God's task? What is that task? What does God want me to do? Let me know that also. How will I know what task God wants me to do? And then his guru said that, well, I think that was again his thinking, that maybe for that you have to go into solitude. Go into solitude and maybe in that state of solitude, in that state of silence, the vision may come again and maybe you will be told what you have to do. That was what his guru told him. And then he said, okay, I have to go into solitude for that. Then he decided to go to Banaras, Varanasi, from Hyderabad, Sindh. And his friend lived there, who used to invite him often, and Varanasi means close to the Ganges River. So he loved to go there often, you know, and he used to go there. But then this time he thought, let me go there and experience some solitude. His friend had a very big bungalow and a very big garden. So he was always invited for that, but he had not been there for a long time. So he decided to go to Banaras. And it was in Banaras, Varanasi, where he got the visions of destruction and he got the vision of golden age. When he got the vision of destruction, immediately he got so much disinterest for the whole world. Otherwise he was a businessman. Money, you know, businessman means who think of money. But here, complete disinterest for the world because he got that vision of destruction of this iron age world. But that unlimited disinterest created another interest that, okay, this world is going to be destroyed, fine, I have no interest anymore. But what is God's task which he wants me to do? The question was still lingering in his mind. Because that's what his guru told him, that you'll get the answer of what God wants you to do. So what does God want me to do? And then he went more and more into solitude. And he used to worship Vishnu. He used to actually, remember Vishnu because that was his God. He did not know of Shiv Baba. Although he used to worship Shiva also, but then Vishnu was his personal God. And then after that he got the vision of heaven, of golden age. And he heard a voice, like a voice coming from above. Like, Hiraj, wake up, wake up. After the end of Kali Yuga, this golden aged world is going to come. And you have to establish that golden age. This is the task God gave him. You have to establish it. And when he heard this voice, you have to establish this, because he saw a beautiful heavenly world, golden age in which nature was in its full bloom, and Lakshmi and Narayan sitting on the throne in a beautiful palace of gold studded with diamonds. It was an amazing scene. Incredible, you know, he couldn't believe it, but he kept hearing these words. This is the world you have to establish, and after the end of Kali Yuga, this world is going to come and you have to establish it. And afterwards, when he came back into his consciousness, he started asking himself, what a beautiful world was it? It was. But how am I going to establish it? I don't know. What do I have? I don't have anything. How can I establish it? Again, this question came in his mind. Well, he got the answer that you have to establish this. But how am I going to establish it? That answer was not given. But then, at least it is like, you know, creating a ripple in his mind and intellect that I have to do something for it. So he went to meet his partner who was running the shop, a big showroom in Calcutta. And how he told his partner, because when he went to his huge shop where they were selling, you know, jewelry studded with diamonds, real diamonds. And when he saw those diamonds, he felt that those diamonds were like stones. That is, he did not have any value for those diamonds, because he felt that he was getting God's real jewels. And what these jewels were, they were only stones. And he made his partner to understand that now he cannot do this business anymore. And he wound up his business, took back his share, and went back to Hyderabad Sindh. With that thought, God wants me to create that heavenly world, but how am I going to create it? How am I going to create it? God, tell me that. And then, you must be knowing the history, that when he went back, amazing things happened. Incredible it was that how people started getting visions of Sri Krishna from Baba. Even Baba could not understand. I'm not Sri Krishna, I'm a human being. Sri Krishna means Vishnu, that's my God. I'm not that. But people got visions of Krishna through him, from him. he would chant Om, and immediately people will go in, would go into trance and maybe even start dancing with Krishna or see him as Krishna. It was a big revolution at that time. But what I'm trying to say is that this was our aim and object which Shiv Baba gave to Baba, that you have to become Vishnu, you have to become Krishna, you have to become this deity. So it was something strange for Baba also. And it could be strange for many because they don't know about the deities. And then when we get this gyan, we begin to understand. I'll tell you one incident. You know, there was one double foreigner. He was in gyan for some time and he was an artist. And but his paintings were like, modern art. And he had his exhibitions, so he was quite well known. So he was a guest and he came to Madhuban. I don't know from which country, but he came to Madhuban many years ago. And he came in front of Avyakt Bab Dada. He said, I want to speak to God. I want to speak. You say, God comes in her body. I want to speak to God. And well, he was brought in front of Avyakt Bab Dada and he asked a question from Baba. And you know what question he asked? He asked, well, he had some knowledge, but not 100%. He said, well, I am told that this, in this organization, institution, you have this aim and objective that you are going to become a deity, and how a deity is, you show beautiful pictures of that and so well decorated, you know, with all the ornaments, the adornments, the gold, the jewelry, the crown, you know, and such beautiful dress and all that. But I'm not very happy with that. I'm not very happy with that. And Baba smiled at him. And Baba said, what you want to say? He said, Baba, I don't like all that. I don't like all this. I like just being very simple, because he was very simple. You know, very simple clothes and very simple. No pomp and show, nothing. So he did not like all that pomp and show. Even he used to paint abstract pictures anyway. And Baba gave him such a beautiful answer for that. Baba told him, supposing you are told that you have to make a painting of a perfect human being. That is a theme. Perfect human being. What type of painting will you make? Perfect human being. Will you show that human being an old man? Will you show that human being ugly looking? Will you show him as a beggar, you know, begging? Will you show him as lame or crippled? Would you show him as having some defects in the body? Would you show him as a poor man? No. So, and you know, and Baba was keeping on asking him, and he was just staring at Baba. How will you portray a perfect human being? Because perfect human being means perfect in everything. In body, in mind, in wealth, in relationships. These are the four things on which is based our happiness. You know, in Hindi we say in beautiful words, rhyming words, tan, man, dhan, jan. Tan means body. So body should be perfect. Neither too tall, nor too short, not too fat, not too thin. You know, perfect, very healthy. Very healthy body. Mind, so peaceful, so calm, cheerful. Will you show a face very sulky, very sad, crying? You know, will you show such a face of a perfect human being? No. perfect, even the face, because face is the index of the mind. So how will the mind be portrayed through that beautiful face, with that serenity, with the peace, with the calmness, with the purity in the eyes, you know, everything perfect. All the virtues are visible through the face. And wealth, supposing you want to show wealth, how will you show wealth? Wealth means complete contentment, and wealth means fully adorned. The king, a king. A king is fully adorned, he is wealthy. And no king is possible without a crown. So crown also is a must. Can there anybody call himself a king if he is not having a crown? Or if he is not sitting on a throne? So crown and throne also are a must for a king. That means perfect wealth. Very, very wealthy. And also the adornments, the ornaments, the jewelry, the necklaces, all that is part of wealth. And then relationship, beautiful relationship, because family life is in this world right from the beginning. Lakshmi, Narayan, Ram, Sita, all the deities, family life. Because without family life, how can there be, you know, expansion of the world? Sannyasis are not part of the expansion. They are only one branch. They came into this world so that they could support the world with their purity. But real world means where there's family. God himself is the biggest family man. All are his children. So the biggest family man, biggest householder is God himself. And we are all his creation. So a family, this is part of perfect human being. If he's living alone, living somewhere in a forest, all by himself and all that, that is not real perfection. But husband, wife, children, this is real family life perfection. That's why whenever they show any family, husband, wife, girl, boy, you know, happy family. We are two and we have two. They say in Hindi, in India, hum do, hamare do. Hum do, we are two and we have two, girl and boy. And that's what is in golden age. So this is perfection. And Baba went on speaking and he just stared at Baba and said not a word. And then Baba asked him, did you understand what it means? But then again he had another question. He said, okay Baba, I understand all this, but do they wear this all the time? Do they wear this all the time? And how heavy must the crown be? Baba smiled again, no child. It won't be heavy, it won't be a big burden, because real gold is very soft. Real gold is not heavy, you know that? Real gold is not heavy at all. It's only when alloy is put in real gold, then it becomes heavy. Otherwise, it's not heavy at all. So the crown also will be so light. The jewelry also will be so light. It won't be heavy at all. And then afterwards he realized. And Baba told him, they won't wear it whole day. No need to wear it whole day. They will wear it only when they are sitting in their court, you know. They have to meet all the other kings. So they have to wear, because this is their official dress. So the picture of Lakshmi and Narayan is the official dress which they have to wear when they are with the other kings. You know, they have to wear it. So then that really satisfied him. So you can understand how far Baba took him. So what is deity form? Deity form doesn't really mean external form, that's only. Actually, you know, they say in India at least, they say that the real decoration of a woman, right from the top till bottom, there are 16 types of decorations. 16. and 16 is considered as perfect. Like Baba said in yesterday's Murli, that when I was a businessman, Brahma Baba said, I used to give one anna as charity, you know, one anna. Anna means from 16 annas was 100%, 100 paisa. Now we have paisa and rupees, no? So 100 paisa is 1 rupee. At that time in India, it was anna and rupee, and 16 annas in 1 rupee. So if you say 1 anna from 16, that means it comes around about 6-7%. 6-7% of his income Baba used to give in charity. No, this was yesterday's Murli. And when he used to go to the temple, he used to give in charity, and those priests would tell him, you start first. If you give so much, then others will follow you and they will do the same. So Baba was the first one to always give in charity. And he used to take out 6-7% from his income for charity. It's quite a lot. It's not less, you know, 6-7%. And therefore Baba says that there it is all indirect, and here it is direct when you are helping Baba physically, mentally, monetarily, you know, in every way you are helping Baba for the establishment of the Golden Age. So in the Golden Age, how everything will be perfect, and that is the perfect creation of God. So that's a very beautiful song also, that so beautiful the creation is. If the creation is so beautiful, how beautiful must the Creator be? And in that creation, they show 16 degrees, means 16 types of adornments, especially on a woman, right from the top. You know, first there is the chindi, you know, like this is between the hair, you know, you have this little, what do you call this? The parting. Yeah, so there also is a decoration. So that is the decoration for the forehead. And then there is the tilak. And then, you know, you also have a antimony for the eyes, you know, to make the eyes beautiful. Then something for the ears, something for the nose, then the lips. And then you have so many necklaces. First it is just around the neck, and then till the chest, and then till the stomach, and then even till the feet, you know. And then maybe rings, and also bracelet, and hair, and waistline, and right till the bottom toes. So all that comes to 16 types of decoration, 16 types of ornaments. And if a woman is studied with all those 16 types, that is usually on her marriage day in India. And they say marriages are made in heaven. So marriages are made in heaven when the wife, the woman, the bridegroom, she is decorated fully from top to bottom. So we say we are all brides of God, and Shiv Baba is the bridegroom. But then even at the confluence age, when Baba comes, he adorns us. But how does he adorn us? He doesn't say that you adorn yourselves physically. On the contrary, Baba says at the confluence age, you have to be very, very, very simple. Even no need for any type of ornament. We don't need anything. Sometimes we wear the ring, that's all, nothing more. This also reminds us of Shiv Baba, nothing else. We don't wear any ornaments or any decoration for showing off or for showing our beauty, nothing of that sort. Because here we have to remain very, very simple. So Baba says, one day before marriage in India, this is the custom in India, one day before marriage, the wife specially, means the bride specially, she wears very ordinary clothes, and you know, she puts a lot of paste of turmeric on her face, on her body, turmeric, because turmeric is not only it is antiseptic, but also it gives a shine on the skin. So she puts a lot of turmeric on her face and very, very simple clothes, oil and turmeric, and then so simple that nobody would even believe that tomorrow she's going to get married. So simple she becomes. But she's happy. She's happy in that simple form. Why she's happy? Because she knows that tomorrow she will be decorated fully and it will be her marriage. So Baba also says at this time, at the confluence age, you have to be very simple. No need for big show, pomp and show. Very simple. Our Dadi Prakashmani, you know, she would always say, simple living, high thinking. Simple but beautiful. Simple but clean. That is why you see all Baba centers, all our halls, everywhere, simple and clean. No dirt, no filth, because that's what Dadi was very, very particular about it, that it must be very clean and it should be simple. Clean and simple. And for something to be clean and simple, white is the best material. White is the best color. And therefore Baba told us to wear white. You know, some people, they wonder why we wear white, because in India, white is not considered to be very auspicious, you know. Usually they say, who wears white? Those who are widows. Widows wear white. I remember, you know, when we went somewhere, and we were 3-4 sisters in white. We went in a garden in India, and we were wearing white clothes, white sari, and some old, you know, senior citizens were sitting in the garden, and they looked at us and felt pity on us. Poor thing, poor thing, poor thing. They said, just such young sisters and they are widows. So we usually in India, no husband will allow his wife to wear white clothes. He will say, am I dead that you want to wear white clothes? I'm very much alive. How can you wear white clothes? Now this is completely contrary in the West. I remember I went to Washington, D.C., you know, Washington, with Sister Jenna. And we went in the morning, we went in a park, very beautiful park in Washington, D.C. We were 3-4 sisters dressed in white. And some senior citizens were sitting similarly on a bench. And they looked at us and said, such beautiful angels. Such beautiful angels. So they saw us as angels. And in India, they saw us as widows. See the difference. This is a difference in mentality, that's all. But then, again, white stands for simplicity. In golden age, no one will wear white. No one. It will be colorful. But then here, Baba says, you have already died alive. Usually when somebody dies, the dead body is covered with white cloth. So white cloth means dead. So Baba says you're already dead from this Kaliyugi world, and therefore you wear white. But then, you know, I remember once I went somewhere in India, and there was one sister who, she said, I want to ask you a question. She was not fully in Gyan, but she was in contact. I said, okay, come, we'll chat. And she said, one thing I don't like about this place, because her sister was a completely dedicated sister living in the center, but she was not. So she asked me a question. Why do you tell everyone to wear white clothes? And I said, well, we don't tell anyone to wear white clothes compulsorily. You don't have to. But then, yes, we do tell them that in the morning class, in the classroom, in the classes, or when you come to Madhuban, it's good if you wear white. Because if somebody is sitting here with black clothes, supposing, you know, he himself will feel ashamed of himself. See, everyone here is so white and I'm in black. So he himself will ask, can I have a white shawl to cover myself? I don't have anything white and I'm the only one having black and everyone here is having white. So himself will feel ashamed. Because this is our costume, this is our uniform. So like in a school, we have to wear a uniform. I remember when I was in school, we had a white uniform. So it's not something strange to wear a white uniform. So this is our uniform we wear in school. So this is a school for us. We are studying, we are in a university. And if you are in a uniform, you can really feel that you are a student. But then on the contrary, we say that our aim and objective is that we are going to become deities. And see, the deities are so colorful. Such lovely, colorful dresses they have. So beautiful, gorgeous dresses. But then why do you tell everyone to wear white chias? I said, we don't tell them. But yes, as a student, when you come to the class, you can wear. If you go to a marriage and you have to wear colored dress, never mind, you do so. You have to wear ornaments, okay, do so, no problem. But in the classroom, you have to, if you come in white, then you really, really feel that you are a student. But then she said, but you people wear white all the time. Why don't you wear colored? And you know, at that time I didn't know what to say, but then how it, Baba, touched my intellect. I said, you know, we are all 24-hour students. We are 24-hour students, 24 hours on God's service. So we have to be 24 hours on duty, and 24 hours on duty, 24/7 on duty. So we have to wear this dress 24/7. How can we change? Then I gave them a very interesting example. I remember I went to Leh Ladakh, which is near China border. And always they have to be very vigilant there, the army there. Everywhere in Kashmir, in Ladakh, you know, all that. Very vigilant because border is there between India and Pakistan. And any time, anything can happen. So they have to be in uniform all 24 hours. They cannot change their dress and wear a night dress or some, you know, loose dress. You know, they cannot, because any time they'll be called to go to the border. And so even with the shoes on, they have to sleep with the shoes on if they have to sleep. They can't even remove the shoes. So all 24/7 on duty in their uniform with shoes on too. You can imagine that's what our army does. They have to be so vigilant. And we also say, who is our enemy? Who is our enemy? Not any country, not any human being, but our enemy is Maya, vices. So we have to be vigilant all the time because Maya can attack us anytime. So if we are dressed in our uniform, we will always be vigilant that yes, we have to face Maya and we have to win Maya. We cannot be defeated by Maya because Maya is a very strong opposition. But then it's not compulsory at all. That's what Baba says in the Murlis too. That's why it's not something that we are very strict with. But yes, those who are in the centers, it is always good that you wear this uniform. But then our aim and objective is very high, very high. When Baba says you go to the temples and you look at these pictures of the deities, at that time, what thought comes in your mind? Those devotees, you know, what thought comes in their mind? And what thought comes in our mind when we go in front of these deities? The devotees, like Baba said in today's Murli also, that when they go, the devotees go in front of the deities, they say, oh, you are so elevated, you are so great, you are so high, you have all the virtues and we don't have any virtues in us. We are so impure, we are sinners, we are this, we are that. But Baba says, when you go in front of the deities in any temple, what will you think at that time? What will you think at that time? You will think that, oh, we were them. We were them. We were these deities. Yesterday we were them. Today we are this and tomorrow we will become them again. So when we say we were these deities, that means maybe the divine virtues are not in us anymore, but we have to imbibe them. And we take the inspiration from these pictures of deities that we have to become like them. The devotees don't take any inspiration. On the contrary, they have that inferiority complex when they are in front of the deities, because they think that those deities, they are the bestowers, because the deities are shown with a hand of blessing, you know. Usually they are bestowers. Devata, Baba said, Devata means the one who's always giving. Dene wala, the one who's always giving. So the deities are always shown with a hand which is giving blessings. You know, all deities you will see shown hand with in this form, giving a blessing. Or in this form, again, giving a blessing on the head. Ashirvad, what they say, a blessing. Or like this. You know, Lakshmi is shown with her hands like this, and there are gold coins coming out of her hand. So always bestowing, always giving. So giving can be in this form, giving can be in this form, and giving can be in this form. And asking is in this form. So what are we? Are we doing like this, or are we doing like this and this and this? Or are we doing like this, slapping someone? These hands, what are they? They are supposed to be lotus hands. That is why, you know, the deities, every part of their body is compared to a lotus. Every part. The eyes, lotus lips, lotus, heart, lotus hands, lotus feet. Why lotus? Actually, Baba says lotus is not the symbol of the deities, because lotus symbolizes something which is unaffected by the impurity. So there is impure, you know, the pond is so dirty, but the lotus is always above that dirty pond. And only that portion of the lotus flower which is above the pond, that is used for worship. Not the whole plant, because the other part of the whole of the plant of lotus is all in that filthy water. So water is filthy. The roots are filthy. Everything is filthy. The leaves also very filthy. But then the lotus is above that, and that part is worshipped. So when we say lotus feet, lotus hands, actually that lotus is not a symbol for the deities, because there is no impurity in golden age. Everything is so pure. So because it's pure, it cannot be compared to a lotus. Lotus is here at the confluence age. Baba says all the adornments shown in the hands of Vishnu, they are all for confluence age. The conch, the Swadarshan Chakra, the mace, as well as the lotus, all these four adornments or ornaments shown in Vishnu's hands, they belong to Sangam, your confluence age. At this time you blow the conch of knowledge, you serve all the four subjects. Actually these four adornments or ornaments symbolizes the four subjects. Gyan, Yoga, Dharana, Seva. So Gyan means the Swadarshan Chakra. So Swadarshan Chakra, we spin the knowledge of the cycle in the mind, Sva Darshan Chakra, the knowledge of the self in the cycle. And Baba says the easiest way to spin the knowledge of the cycle in the intellect is, remember your five forms. I was in the soul world as a point of light. I came into this world as a deity, so deity form, and in copper age as worship-worthy form, then confluence age as Brahmin form, then angel form, and then back again to soul form, the incorporeal form. So that's your Swadarshan Chakra, which you have to always spin in the intellect. So Gyan, Yoga, Dharana and Seva. So Swadarshan Chakra is Gyan. And Yoga is the mace. You know, they show the mace in Vishnu's hand, or the mace in the hands of Hanuman. So that stands for strength. And the importance of the mace is that when the mace is on the shoulder, Hanuman, they show this mace on the shoulder, which means he is at war with Maya. And when he becomes victorious, then the mace is shown downwards. It is shown downwards in the hand of Vishnu. So it means it has become, he has become victorious. So when it is sign of a fight, then the mace is on the shoulder. But when it is finished and he is victorious, and then the mace is shown downwards, just like guns are down. When at war, the guns are up. So too, Baba says, that's your yoga stage. When you are in yoga stage, you conquer Maya. You become victorious over Maya and you become pure. So Jnana is the Swadarshan Chakra, Yoga is the mace, and our Dharana is the lotus flower, and Seva, service, is the conch. You have to blow the conch of knowledge and give Jnana to others. So all these four subjects of Sangam Yoga, which Shiv Baba gives us, that is supposed to be meant for Brahmins. But Baba says, you Brahmins are always fluctuating. Your stage is fluctuating. Today you are carrying the conch, you are blowing the conch, giving Baba's knowledge to others, and tomorrow you are defeated by Maya and you cannot give Baba's Jnana anymore. Today you have a lotus and tomorrow you become impure. So Baba cannot give these four adornments to Brahmins. That is why your perfect form, the Vishnu form, the deity form, and that's what you are, and that's what you have to become. So always see your perfect form. Baba keeps telling us in the Murlis to always see your perfect form. Sit in front of Lakshmi Narayan and see how we were them, and we have to become them again. How pure I was, I have to become pure like that. Don't see just the ornaments, but see the beauty of the soul. See the wealth of the soul. See the greatness of the soul. And that greatness has to come in me. And this is how we understand the deities. And this is what it means to demystify the deity form. Okay? Have you understood? Will anybody now think, in when they go in front of any deity, oh, I don't like these ornaments. Anybody thinks like that? Anybody who thinks like that, raise your hand. No. Your ornaments will be very light there, don't worry. You will look more beautiful in them. But now, no more, not now. Here we have to be as simple as possible. I know so many mothers, you know, from London, from US, mothers, especially Bharatvasis, how they come to Madhuvan, they bring all their gorgeous saris, fully, you know, decorated with gold and, you know, all that. Now they don't wear anymore. And they say, please use them because we are not wearing them anymore. And we use them for decoration. When we have decoration of golden age, we use those saris because they don't want to wear anymore. So because Baba makes us simple at the confluence age. And the more simple we are, but internally pure, so that's visible on our face. And that is what people will be attracted to. They won't be attracted to the physical beauty. Because physical beauty is only temporary. It's only skin deep, you know, we say. What beauty really Baba wants from us is the spiritual beauty, the beauty of the soul. And when that beauty comes, then automatically the other physical beauty also comes. In golden age, we will be that. And today in confluence, if we are not physically beautiful, don't worry. On the contrary, it is better. It is better. Why? Because nobody will be attracted towards you. Because people are attracted towards physical beauty. And here we are attracted towards spiritual beauty. Shiv Baba is called Satyam Shivam Sundaram. The truth, the benefactor, and the beautiful. And that beauty attracts, and that will be the real beauty which attracts souls, and how souls will be pulled towards Baba's children. And in this way, Baba's service will expand. And at the end, Baba says, you have to be ready because you have to keep giving, giving, giving all what you have taken from Baba. And that will be our greatest task at the end. In this way, golden age will be established. Okay? Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. Thank you very much.